The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we got a great question from one of our listeners. Here it is. Why is giving your life to Christ or inviting Christ into your life not the same thing as having faith? Well, if you've listened for very long, you'll have a sense that Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar will definitely have an answer on that question. In fact, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, time for some questions. Questions. We all have questions, or at least we should have questions. How else are you going to learn if you don't ask questions?
Well, one of my seminary professors, Dr. Howard Hendricks, he used to say the problem with most of us is we've never been sufficiently confused.
Oh, I agree. Yeah,
and there's some truth in that.
Yes.
I mean, we're humbled when we're faced with questions that we can't answer and we have to pray about and search the scriptures and search the literature, and it's all quite humbling. And if we think we know everything, then we need to rethink
that.
Well,
yeah, you're almost, yeah. If you think you know everything, then you haven't. The only people who think they know everything are like six-year-olds. You know, they're very confident.
Or first-year college students.
Or first-year college or seminary students, that's for sure. That can be the shock of education at the higher levels, where you're really forced to think and come face-to-face with everything you don't understand. Here's a question from Phil, and it's about false personal testimonies. He says, I've seen many times on your website where you consider various personal testimonies to be invalid for salvation. Those include, I have committed my life to Christ, I made Jesus my Lord and Savior, I invited Jesus into my heart, etc. I understand the belief that these statements all have a connotation that includes action, obedience, and good works. But my question is, don't they inherently imply faith in Jesus as well? And so this is a common problem. It's something that, you know, we talk to people about. Obviously, our position is salvation is by faith in Jesus, apart from works for everlasting life that can't be lost.
Right. And the part you said at the end is what really distinguishes what we're saying from some potential ways that Phil's talking about. For example, if someone says you need to commit your life to Christ in order to be born again, well, you wouldn't commit your life to following him and serving him unless you believed it was in your best interest, right?
Right.
I mean, why would you do that if it was bad for you?
Sure.
So you must believe that either you're going to be able to go to heaven, get into the kingdom because you're following Christ, mm-hmm. which is what a lot of people mean by this, or possibly you might mean this is just the best way to live. But that's not the way people evangelize. They don't say, hey, the way you're born again is by believing in Jesus for your eternal salvation, and then you need to commit your life to him. Instead, they say, if you'd like to be saved, commit your life to Christ.
Right.
And that's conveying the wrong message. Yes, they believe something about Jesus, but they don't believe that by faith in him, they have everlasting life. They believe they've got to do something else.
Yeah. So if the saving message is you need to believe in Jesus and someone says, oh, absolutely, I've committed my life to him. Or, oh, yeah, sure. I invited Jesus into my heart. Well, it's really not clear that that person even understands what the one condition is.
Right. Or I made Jesus my Lord and Savior, which is another example Phil brings up. Well, how is making Jesus my Lord and Savior the same as believing in him for my eternal destiny?
Yeah.
In other words, we've talked on the show before how in John 4:10, Jesus spoke of knowing the gift of God and the giver. Well, the gift of God is everlasting life. The giver is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. We might say the Lord Jesus Messiah in Hebrew, Mashiach. And the point is that we must believe in Jesus for something, and that something is our eternal destiny. So is it possible that in the course of the last 100 years, there have been people who invited Jesus into their heart who also believed in him for everlasting life? I imagine there have been people like
sure.
that.
Sure. I mean, sometimes people just, they've been taught to testify to their faith in Jesus in Christianese.
Right.
You know, they're around whatever, evangelicals or Baptists, and they hear other people say, I gave my life to the Lord. And they're like, okay, that's what I'm supposed to say when I'm testifying. So that's what they say. But the truth is, yeah, they came to faith in Jesus.
Right.
For their eternal salvation. But they're not testifying to what actually happened. They're just testifying in Christianese.
Right. And there are other people, and I think this is what kind of gets Phil. There are other people who give a testimony kind of like this. When I was 10 years old, I went to a camp, a youth camp. And I had a counselor in my cabin that talked to me about Jesus each night. And on the last night, I gave my life to Christ. I became a Christian, and that's the most blessed event in my life. And then, 10 years later, when I was in college, I got involved with a campus Christian organization. And I came to believe that by my faith in Jesus, I was saved once and for all. Mm. And so I came to faith when I gave my life to Christ, and then later I gained assurance of my eternal destiny.
Right.
Well, the problem with that testimony is, based on their own testimony, they came to faith at age 20. They didn't come to faith at age 10. At age 10, they gave their life to Christ. At age 20, they believed in Christ for their salvation. And so it seems to me there's a whole lot of people in evangelicalism who've been born again, but when you hear their testimony, it sounds like either the example you gave, they give some muddy, I invited Jesus in, I prayed the prayer, even though that's not how they came to faith,
yeah.
Or they've got this two-part testimony.
Right.
First, I invited Jesus in, I prayed the prayer, I walked the aisle or whatever, and then years later, I believed in the security of my salvation.
Right. So words matter and what we say matters. I mean, oftentimes if someone has an unclear testimony, it's because they're unclear about the saving message. And so it's at the very least, it's worthwhile following up with that person and just asking if they understand the condition and the consequence. The condition is to believe in Jesus, and the consequence is if you do, you get everlasting life. And there's just the one condition and there's the permanent consequence. And if someone's not clear about that, ask questions to find out, because you might be inadvertently evangelizing someone who needs to be evangelized.
That's exactly right. And here's the other thing, Sean. I love when you said words matter. The most important words are God's words,
right.
What God says in His Word, the Bible. Our words are only accurate if they are consistent with God's words.
Yeah.
And so when we give some unclear message, we make it much harder for people to grasp the simple truth that whoever believes in the Son of God will never perish but has everlasting life, John 3:16.
That's right. All right, here's another question from, this is from John. And John says, okay, if a Catholic becomes born again through faith in Christ apart from works, but continues to be Catholic, are there any consequences for continuing in a works salvation church? So I take it the question means someone has legitimately believed in Jesus for eternal life that can't be lost. They are born again, but they keep on attending a Roman Catholic church. What's the consequences for that person? You can't lose everlasting life. So
right.
Everlasting life is everlasting. It's permanent. But there are lots of other negative consequences that can come from being in a church that teaches, well, a lot of false things.
Right. Well, for one thing, your witness, although a lot of people might think if you're a believer in an unbelieving church, then this gives you wonderful opportunities to share your faith. But actually, the opposite is true. What happens is, if you stay in an unbelieving church, over time, you end up getting sucked back into the old way of thinking.
Right.
And it's not long before you no longer believe that it's simply by faith in Christ, but now it's by faith in Christ plus baptism, plus the church saves me, plus it's prayer to the saints and prayers to Mary, and I have to go and confess my sins to the priest, and I have to have last rites before I die.
And the bread and wine are magically transformed into something else.
You go through all these things. So number one, your witness drops off, but also your assurance of salvation becomes lost over time. But another thing is, if you now become a good moral Catholic, okay, that doesn't mean then that you're going to be experiencing a lot of judgment in this life, because if you're a moral Catholic, well, at least you're living a moral life. But the truth is, you're no longer doing the things God wants you to do. So you're committing a lot of sins of omission. Omitting to do the things. For one thing, you're not worshiping together with other believers. The Catholic Church is not a believing church.
Yeah.
But the same is true whether it's Protestant, Orthodox, or Catholic. If you're in a work salvation church, that's just not good for you.
Yeah, and I mean, how can you worship there? Because a lot of the worship in a Catholic church is going to be idolatrous. I mean, it's worship. You're singing and praising and bowing and whatnot to the saints and to Mary and stuff like that. So you're engaging in open sin. You know, that's like commandment number two, you know, or one and two. But also, I think about the missed opportunity. You have one life to live, to grow, and to flourish and to prosper. And let's say you live in a city where there is no Grace Church. It's just the Roman Catholic Church. And you think to yourself, well, I have to go to the Roman Catholic Church because there's no other church here. Well, guess what? That is an amazing opportunity for you to just meet the way the first Christians met, very simply, and start a Grace Church in your area.
In your home or apartment.
Right, and that is a very effective witness. The best way to grow a church is to plant a church. That's way more rewardable and profitable than trying to fly under the radar in an unbelieving church.
That's a good point. I really like that, Sean. Missed opportunity. We get, you know, a few years to a few decades to serve Christ, 6-7 decades if we're fortunate. But the point is, we don't want to squander those years in an unbelieving church.
Mm-hmm.
You've written several blogs lately where you've talked about starting a church in your own home, and it makes a lot of sense. So if you can't find one that's clear on the issues of grace, then start one.
So to sum up, John, negative consequences could be being involved in open sin by, you know, all the overt idolatry in the Roman Catholic Church. You can have the negative consequence of not growing in the faith because you're hearing false doctrine. You have the negative consequence of actually kind of reverting because you start believing this false doctrine. Then you have the negative consequence of just missing out on all the opportunities to grow spiritually under sound Bible teaching, and the missed opportunity of starting a church if you can't find a Grace one in your area. There's almost no upside to attending a Roman Catholic church permanently, and it's all downside.
I agree.
Good questions, hard questions. Thank you, John. Thank you, Phil. Very real. We love hearing from you guys. You know where to find us at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about alternative lifestyles, so join us for that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.